Welcome to Ballsy, the podcast where I interview successful artists and creators on how they got the balls to sell their art and turn their practice into a profitable business. As a former entrepreneur turned artist, I realized that being an artist is basically like running a small startup, and you, the artist, are the CEO. I talk to artists about their businesses, talk real numbers, growth hacks, tools and tricks, and how they were ballsy enough to make that their career. Everybody, welcome to Ballsy Podcast. This one, we actually had a fuck up, so we've done this one and we're going to do it again because, like in many of our art practices, fuck ups turn out to be the best. So I have much faith for this second time around. So today we are fortunate enough to meet with Salventius, who is an artist I followed for quite some time. I'll let you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your work, and tell people where to find you so while they're listening, they can look at your artworks.
My name is Salventius, also known as Niels Kine, and I'm a Dutch artist, and I've been making art for 10 years now. What I make is I create portraits in the moment, and that's really very important because I don't want to have this plan. I just want to, like you said, I want to really love to make fuck-ups, and in the fuck-ups there's a beauty. So that's why I create portraits in a moment. And I've been doing this for 10 years. And yeah, you can check out my Instagram account. It's on Salventius. And I'm excited that you have me here for the second time. But it's still it's nice to be here.
I always like to start, which is how you got to art. So what did you do before you were an artist? And when did you start making art? And then when did you figure out that you could actually do this professionally?
What I did before I was creating art, I was a creative strategist, and I did it in the creative industry, in the advertising industry. I was working like a creative, and that was a nice thing, and everything was based up on an assignment. And suddenly on the side, I always did this kind of art project. I was making a living and I was also making a life, and the life part was when creating art. And I think it was like 12 years ago, my kids were born, and then I couldn't go out and create art. So I thought I should find something that I could do on the kitchen table, because I really had this need to create. And then the portraits out of one line were created. And that's what I really loved. That was my happy place there, where I could really put myself into and everything. But that, I think, after practicing that for 3 years, and it still didn't want to call it being an artist because I was doing this as a side project. But then Instagram came with this fantastic thing that you can share your reels on Instagram. And that's what I did. I created the making of the portraits. And for me, that was also very important, because then people could see that it was really created in the moment. I just started my line in the left corner and I didn't finish until it was done, and everybody could see how it was evolving and how I did fuck ups and how I acted on it and how it turned out to be a beautiful portrait or a nice portrait. And all that took off, and that was I think overnight I gained 10,000 followers, and then I got into this realm of unreality that you think, okay, what the fuck is happening here, because it's suddenly exploding. And it kept continuing. So then I decided, okay, maybe I should take this more seriously than just be doing this as a side project. And it also brought me a lot of joy. So it's not just the followers, but it was more like, okay, it brought me joy. And now I could also transform it into joy for somebody else. So that was what I really liked. And unfortunately, my nephew died. So just get into the story. But my nephew died, and he was 47. Suddenly, and that, yeah, it's a cliche, but that's something ignited inside my mind. And I said, okay, if you want to do this, you should do it right now, because life is too short to do things as a side project. You should go all in. And that's what I did. I went all in. And the thing is, what I really am proud of is that even though I went all in, and even though it became my profession, I still kept the basics of creating in the moment, and not wanting to create what people want, but just wanted to create what happens in that time window. So that's what I really like. And then I think it was exactly that year I started selling my work, and that was very nice, because then I could also buy new materials, and I had this vast amount of ideas that I wanted to explore. Because we're now talking, I think it's 7 years ago, and I really want to do something in VR. So I started to save some money from making portraits to buy my first VR headset. And it then costed so much money. And then I thought, you know, okay, this is the thing that I like to do. So I kept on continuing doing what I love the most, having sell my work on the side. And then with that money, I could buy new material and make an experiment and then jump into this day to day. And I'm still doing it. And I'm very blessed, I'm very happy that I could do this. And I'm still not done yet. So it's so you can do this talk again in 10 years. Let's promise.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the lesson from all that is that, you know, too many times I've heard that when the people who choose to go all in, then it just happens to work out. I guess there's a selection bias there, but that the courage to take that full leap, in your case, having like just one of those reality moments that forces you there, but to do that and taking that leap. And then once you burn the ships and you have to go, it's amazing how all of those things work out.
No, but especially for the way I create my work, because that leap that you're talking about and the courage is that's happening in every drawing that I do. And that's what keeps me going, because otherwise it wouldn't be any fun and it wouldn't excite me or wouldn't trigger me. So in a way, when I started to go all in, it was so much resonating with the things that I made. So that made it easy, but it still is, yeah, like you said, it's the courage. But you can't do it just on the side. You need to go all in. You need to give yourself that opportunity, I think.
I couldn't agree more. The second that I committed to do something full time, it's amazing. As the joke always says, the universe worked it all out. Like, I'm a big believer in that. So yeah. You had spoken briefly that you like, so you're making these sketches, you're making these drawings, you're getting some internet following, and you decided to start selling your work. As this podcast really tries to focus on the business of art and how we make it, can you tell us what sort of works you make and sell? Do you do prints? Do you do originals? Do you do digital NFTs? Do you do sculptures? What does your work look like from a sales point? And then we'll go into how you actually make it and get your customers.
That's a lot, but let's go back to
focus on what you make first.
Yeah, okay, what I make first. I make portraits in the moment. I make them on canvas, on paper. I also do light painting. I did 3D printing stuff. We created portraits in VR, you name it. And I did sand drawings with water on sand. So there's a lot of things that I try to discover and find out. And I'm aware that not everything is possible to be sold. And to be honest, it's not my main thing. The business side is very important for me because it also allows me to keep on creating. But the creating is my, yeah, I think it's the main thing that why I'm making this, why I make my work. Print thing that you mentioned, I did try some printed, limited edition print. But somehow, because I really like to sell my originals, because they are made in one time. And when you do a limited edition print, you have this a lot of one times that are copies of each other. So yeah. That was something that really didn't resonate with my belief in creating in a moment and have these things made up just once and not being able to exist again. For example, a light painting. When I started, I did some light paintings way back, but not with portraits. And I think 6 years ago, I started experimenting with the light painting thing. And the beauty of it is that you create it and it's there. It's not even there. It doesn't exist. You create it in the light. You need this long exposure time of your camera. So your camera registers the light and you are just in this, in my case, it was a studio or a landscape. And you start creating this portrait. And then suddenly 30 seconds later, time is gone. There is no light. And you look in the camera and there you see the light painting. And that was the beauty for me. But I thought, okay, this one I could do as a limited edition print maybe, because otherwise we wouldn't be selling the light paintings. But it still is difficult for me to do to sell the limited print things. And I don't know why. It attracts a different kind of people and also people that like my work. So I have this very high production rate. So I draw every day and somehow it feels like if I rather sell an original than I sell a limited edition print.
Interesting. So you say you paint every day. About how many paintings do you paint a year? You must be quite prolific.
Yeah, absolutely. That it is. I paint, I draw every day, let's say, name a drawing, and the size is different. Right now, I'm in I have this big studio, so I can work on some large scale portraits, and that's what I'm doing right now. But I guess I think I make one every 2 days, but in the rest of the day, I keep creating. I do my iPad drawings. I draw on smaller paper, so I think it would be like between the 5 or 10 portraits a day. So you can do the math. I suck at math. That's why I started drawing. But I think it's, yeah, like 3,000 drawings. I try to have contact with each of my clients, and that I like it. It brings me energy. It gives me energy. And because the people also tell me why they bought that work or why they like it that much. That's something that it's priceless. This evening, I received this message from this guy. I drew this. I think it was the one over there. Oh, you can see, but it was there. So you can see it's a father and a son, and it wasn't named father and son, but in a way it is a father and son. And this guy messaged me and he said, I really want to buy this one. Not enough money, but this resonates with me. This makes me think of me being with my 2 year old and I'm this new father and that kind of stuff. That makes me so excited to do more, because it's a one-on-one conversation, artist conversation. You have to agree with this. It's a conversation with as much people as you like. And that's what I think is the main thing why I create my stuff.
When you keep track of all these people, do you do it on a spreadsheet or is there a particular software you use?
I sell my stuff by Shopify. And there you have this track. They track everything so that you can have this handout with locations, not exactly the location, but you can see the location where people, where it went to. I have this map. You can put it on this map and you can see where it went through and where it didn't went through. Also, some lands, some countries haven't been selling my stuff yet, so it's very funny to see this. So that's odd. Okay.
It's always interesting to see where around the world people chime in from.
Yeah, I can't tell that it's also making me proud. It's like the legacy part where you create art. And if you see this, that's cool. For me, it's like I'm traveling the world because the stuff that I make is so much attached to me or so much me that you can see on the drawing. So, yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Now, where do most of your sales come from? Is they come direct? Are you represented by galleries? Is it all online via Instagram and social? Where does most of your market come from, or do you even know?
Most of the sales come from my Instagram followers that got directed to my Shopify channel. And that's the selling of the portraits I do. And the other thing that I do is a collaboration with brands and everything. I have somebody who represents my work in China. Sometimes people just contact me one-on-one. So I do this collaboration also myself to take care of my own business.
Which is a big part of the income.
I don't do galleries or not being asked to do galleries. But like I said, I'm not focused on galleries. I think if you have Instagram, that's the new world. Not Instagram only, but sharing on social, that's the new world. You get this more one-on-one. For me, it gives a feeling that real people looking at your work and connecting with your work. So I haven't been thinking about doing galleries and I didn't feel the need, but who knows? And the other end is then the collaboration.
Yeah, you don't have to give up 50%.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Then now I know everybody needs to make a buck. I totally understand and everything, but I just need to get more loose for my work and then I can allow it to be sold for 50% of the thing that I think it's worth. Maybe that's the thing. And I'm still alive. I'm still doing my stuff. I'm still doing what I do best or do enjoy. And yeah, galleries, okay. Maybe later, maybe not.
So you had mentioned collaborations. Could you describe some of those collaborations, what they look like and how they usually work? And do you find them or do they find you?
All collaborations I did, they found me, except there was one. There was this car that was driven by sunlight. So it was solar-powered car, and it was made in the Netherlands. And I contacted these guys, and they said, okay, I want to do this light painting on your car. because I'm a light painter. I create stuff in a moment. This is a very nice moment. And this is, but that's the only thing I intend myself. But the company went bankrupt. So other collaboration went wrong, but it's another thing. And the other thing is I get contacted by brands. I think 10 times somebody contacted me for a collaboration. For me, it's very important to do the collaboration. It needs to resonate with my work. It needs to be about people or about portraits or portraits of people, or it needs to be about the moment or the nowness or whatever. It really needs to resonate with my work. For example, I've been collaborating with Polaroid. Polaroid has this instant camera, as you might know. New camera has this light painting function. So they asked me, would you work with us together and show this new Polaroid camera, and we do the shoot with a commercial and everything, and you would be on set and do this light painting and would be on the camera on the Polaroid. And I said, it's a good idea because it resonates with what I believe in. It's an instant camera, it's in the moment, and it does the light painting stuff, and that's what I like. And then we went into collaboration. So I'm always looking for if it resonates with me first, and then the business side, how much will the project take, anything else.
And you negotiate all this yourself?
Yeah, I do this all. I'm always looking for somebody who could do this for me. I've tried it in the past to work with somebody. But the funny thing is, I'm just the lucky guy. The people that want to collaborate with me, they really want to contact me. They want to talk to me about the concept. They want to talk about me with how they want to do this project. And maybe the business part would be to have somebody else. And the financial part would be nice to have somebody else. I totally agree with it. But until now, I didn't find anything, no bumps on the roads. And I think it's because I'm not taking all the 10 collaborations. I'm taking just two that really resonate because they really contacted me because they want to work with me. We want just one line thing and we found you. Okay, could you maybe do this? It's always, they want to work with me because I created in a moment, or they like what I made because it resonates with their beliefs. For example, I just ended this collaboration with Dwayne Wade, the basketballer, and I did this shoe for him and this small collection with the shirts and everything. And we discussed in the beginning, okay, what are we going to do? And it was like, okay, I said, basketball is all about being in the moment. There are more sports that need to be involved, but for basketball, you need to be in a bit about time. In the last second, you can make a score. So we came up with a moment thing, and that what was transformed into some prints. And also the shoe design that was made. And I was very proud of it. The shoe was called Moment.
How do you decide what to charge for something like that? Do you ever think that you don't charge enough? Or how do you go about figuring... Was it like a lot of shoes or just one pair of shoes? Was it like a Nike deal?
It's a Nike deal, yeah. It's Dwight is being sponsored by Li Ning, and that's a big company. I think it's the Nike of China, and that's a big company, similar to Nike. And it's not like I get a revenue per shoe, because I don't think that the fashion industry works like this. You should be in a different industry. Now I'm practicing what I believe and what I do, but in the past I have this advertising background, so I'm also aware about commercial stuff and everything. I admit it's a difficult part to do this financial, but if I don't feel like I'm being fucked up, then it's okay for me. And it's and these are good, so I'm not complaining, but it's totally honest what I do the most, is that it resonates with my work. It's also my work being, and it's not just, oh yeah, there's drawings. There's my name is on the tag. There's my belief on the T-shirt. That's a statement that I worked on. I did this drawing of this planet with people, and it's on this shirt. I hope they don't listen, but they're going to charge me for advertising on their T-shirt.
Yeah, it also just brings additional sales, right? That fills the top of the funnel, brings more people to your Instagram, brings more people to see your work that might not have seen it.
I didn't see a peak. There is a peak when it happens, but now we're really going to go sky high or something like that. It's even you need to know, because if you're on Instagram or you're on social or you're on behind a desktop or something, and you see something from somebody, you click on it and then you're on his website, and then you can decide to do the sale so that you can buy something. And what I found out is that people need to return a few times and then buy your product. So if it's on a T-shirt, then it's nice because people see it on the screen and say, that's that guy. I saw his work on his t-shirt. And I think that's how it works. Maybe I should ask how the sales went with the t-shirt. So then I know it's something that is popular or something that has been working out well.
Yeah, and once again, I'm a big believer, the more times you're associated with, especially if you're selective, the more brands you're associated with, the better it does for your brand.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, when I do this stuff and if people believe in you, like brands believe in you and they really want to work with you because they think that your vision matches theirs, this is something that really makes my adrenaline rush. I can't admit, I can't lie about it, I think.
It's cool. I've been fortunate enough to get a couple this year and it's very exciting. So yeah, I understand that electricity that you get. Think so much of your work that they're willing to partner with their brand. Interesting.
Absolutely. It's real because you dreamed about it and you create it, then it's real. But if a brand finds it good enough, I remember the first time when we talked, you just did the small ones and now you did the large. The first time for me, when it skyrocketed, then it launched like it's 10,000 followers in one night and the next night again and again. But how was this for you? How did you experience this moment? Because I remember I was going crazy because I thought, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next?
Yeah, I've told the story recently. I thought I knew about social media. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I was like, oh yeah, I get it. Oh, people get to see your thing. And until I had one big viral hit that I got, I didn't appreciate the raw power of what it could really do. I got one that was like a little sculpture that I made and the video got, I think like 1 million or 1.5 million views. And at the time, mm-hmm. that was probably more views than every other view I've had combined for years,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I started going like bigger and started doing this bigger balloon stuff. And I had two videos and they both popped at the same time on both platforms. I did TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think that the videos on Instagram did 40 million views, on TikTok did 50 million views. And there was one day where I had 10 million views, right? The video was like 16 seconds long or 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And if you add up the amount of view time, it's 36 years of viewing time, like just the raw attention. And what came from that was every other video that I made all of a sudden had a lot. And so many more people started to see me. I went from a year ago, I was at 11,000 followers. I'm now at almost 250,000. And that's in 1 year, right? Mm-hmm. All organic. And let me tell you, I have a couple of big brand deals right now that we were talking about. And every one of them is from social media. Everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And as you said, what it really means is as artists, where we used to be like shackled by the gallery. And that's why I do this podcast, right? I think many artists appreciate it, know it, but we're a business, right? You're a business. I'm a business. Some have employees, some don't, some scale, some don't. You can own your customer. You don't use galleries and you still have a pretty successful franchise. So like you're working with Dwayne Wade. He found you, right? That's unbelievable. And that's what social does. Talent bubbles to the top. What art that affects people bubbles to the top. And so you're able to create these relationships in these moments that just, as an artist, you really couldn't 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
No, absolutely. Yeah, totally agree. And you can have this conversation with your clients or with the people that you follow or follow you. And it's so beautiful, especially worldwide. So you get this, like, this overview of what people like or what people think or what people believe. And then you suddenly know that this world isn't just a lot of difference. What I like about your story is that you said two platforms, Instagram and TikTok, and they went sky high, the views. And that's a funny thing because everybody's talking about algorithm and how people do it. But it was, these are two different platforms. There's also something behind it, but you can see if it's just two platforms when it goes sky high, then you know, okay, this is good stuff. This needs to be,
it's funny.
Needs to be seen about.
And one of the questions I was going to ask you, and I'm sure the answer is probably no, is do you use PR or publicity? Like in this age, most of us don't have to, but is that something you actually use or do you ever get like press and stories or do you care about that or just doesn't make a difference?
Well, I do some interviews, but that's what people ask me to interview or do podcasts or that's what I do, but I don't have this PR strategy or something. When you ask a question, I was thinking, okay, why would we need this? Because it's social media. Let's see what else comes up.
So I've gotten to the point where how much of your time do you actually spend making art versus all the business parts of making art, like the shipping, the sales, the conversations, the emails, the social, the like, what's the split?
That's also not, it's like fluid. It's fun. Sometimes I have days, I create every day. I think I'm creating average 3 hours a day making art, and maybe 2, 3, 4 hours a day doing the business side with the shipping, but mainly when do collaborations, the meetings and everything. And sometimes it's different. Sometimes it's 8 hours doing business for a week, but that makes me really unhappy because I found out that you see in sales on my website, if I don't make new work, then you see sales going down. But it's more you don't have new videos to post or don't have new stuff to share with people, and then you see the views going down or the attention is going down, and then your sales is going down. So, and then my mood is going down. But it's mainly because I really like to work. I really like to create. I'm not done yet, and I want to experiment. I've got so much else that I want to do. When business takes a lot of time, then it really gets me
edgy.
Edgy, yeah.
Do you film all your own content? So you're your own social media manager?
I do film all my own content. And I once or twice had somebody else take care of the film because it was a very difficult. The sand drawings were large, so we need a drone. And there's also one light painting I did for the United Nations. We shot with a drone. And then there was a crew and with people. And I liked it. It looks very professional. But what I found out and what works for me is that you should make it look professional. I've got this good gear. I've got this studio lights and everything. So the lighting is perfect. I think it's perfect. But if it's too perfect, then people just don't like it. They want to see not the fuck-ups, but they want to see the speed-up stuff. I've seen you use it as well because it takes a while before the inflation of it. And that's what people like because it's not like a fashion show. It's not like catwalk. It's an artist at work. And it's contemplating or just swearing because something isn't working. That's why I like to do my videos myself. And what also is important is I really need my concentration. So if I have this large crew around me, then it works. But if you ask me, I would rather even not film what I make because then I do my best stuff. Because I still have this feeling of somebody looking over my shoulder. And that's not content. You can't say, okay, sorry, guys. I didn't want somebody to look over my shoulder. So this time, no video.
I have tripods everywhere at my house, at my studio, and move them all around and take them and do them. And do you have any team at all or any help, or you just like muscle through everything?
Well, you mentioned it as muscling, but it's for me, it's not like muscling. It's part of my where I get my inspiration from. It keeps me sharp. When my nose is close to this drawing, then it's in this drawing. And when I do this business part, I take this overview for my work so I can think about why I'm doing this work or how I'm doing this work. So I really like to have this range of stuff that needs to be done to create and sell or get your work to the people. When I run into somebody that really connects or really resonates, hey, who knows?
And now, you mentioned that you played a lot with virtual reality and you were early on virtual reality. It feels like that is starting to catch up with everybody else between the Apple headset that's coming and the Oculus. Do you plan on doing more of that type of work? And do you experiment with new technologies a lot? Or what dragged you down that road?
Before virtual reality, I did the light painting. And that was an eye-opener for me because it took me away from the paper. And it gave me a new vision of how I create my stuff, why I create my portrait. So I thought the next step would be virtual reality. I remember the first time I put on this headset and I had this drawing program. I don't know. Right now I use Gravity Sketch and that's beautiful. It's a big tip. If people go to VR and want to draw, use Gravity Sketch and not the Google ZBrush thing. It was Gravity Sketch. And I did this drawing and I could continue because it doesn't cost any paint. It keeps on going. And I was drawing this cabinet. I was inside of this cabinet with surrounded with my portrait and the thing that I love the most. And I could look for them from any angle and everything. I get goosebumps again. And I remember we talked about this the other podcast as well. But the thing was, when I created this cabinet around me of portraits in one line, in one stroke, and then I had these handles and I saw this little bunny and I saw this dinosaur on the right. I thought maybe I push it to the dinosaur. And then the scale went up and I was in this cathedral of my own drawings. This is the next thing. And I want to wait before 3D stuff, printing stuff, because that's a thing, still is a thing. When that really is doing what it needs to be done, then we go out. Then the world's going to be a beautiful place, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think when the new Apple headset comes out, it's going to...
Because the Apple headset looks fantastic, but I think it's made more like the one, the Oculus one, the Pro Oculus for Meta. That those goggles are more made to have you get away from your computer and start doing your business stuff, your emailing and everything on your headset. And the drawing or the really virtual reality creating stuff, obviously you can do this on these machines as well, but it's not like they are made for these kind of creating stuff. I use the Oculus Studio, there will be a new one. I'm not sponsored, but there will be a new one. And
I think the depth of VR and AR are somewhat demised. I think actually augmented reality will be where the real interesting stuff comes. And you can take your cathedral sized piece of work and geolocate it in a location. And someone will have a filter on their phone that like, oh, these are the artists I like. And this is their work around the world. And you walk through your city or you walk through someone's town and one of your paintings at scale towering over. I think there's going to be some really interesting solutions. And I think a lot of artists are going to have a lot of fun playing in this kind of new existence.
Absolutely. And while you mentioned this, what also excites me is not just the new technology thing about VR, but I bring into the game that it's created in the moment that has this human factor in each. Because if you think VR and you see these straight lines, you see this perfect done sketches or something, and that's not what my work is about. My work is about the fuck ups or the little drips, or those are inside of these VR models as well. I have this chair over here. It's a 3D printed chair, and it has these bumps because I bumps with my this controller, and it's still in the 3D print. It would also be in AR or the VR environment, and that's what I like. So it makes it maybe a little bit more human. People are less afraid of when seeing my work. They're less afraid of VR, and they say, okay, this is human made, it's comfortable, I think, I hope.
I think that the next phase of kind of interesting creation is coming. All of these tools are going to open up a level of creation that the world has never seen. So question for you, as we start coming towards the end of the podcast, I think you remember last time, I like to have some conclusion and reflections on one's kind of life and career. And so one of the things that I'm always interested in from people, because I like to learn from other people's wins and losses, so I don't have to work as hard. What do you think your biggest mistake in your career was? And what did you learn for it? And then the opposite of that, what was your biggest success?
My biggest mistake was when it was with a collaboration and I really needed some guidance for this collaboration. So I asked a few people if they could represent me or they could help me out or something like that. They weren't in the art world. So it was very difficult to explain to them, okay, look, the world is crazy. This collaboration is just in front of me. I want to do this collaboration. Help me out. And then the mistake was that I felt insecure. So I tried to contact people and to help me. And then the deal almost wasn't done because it took so long. And then I thought, okay, fuck it. I go all in. Being in the moment also means I'm going to do this in the moment. And I did it myself and it worked out well. So I think you should take it seriously to do collaborations. Yeah, you should be aware. Yeah, there are fuck ups and there are mistakes and people want to maybe try to pay less for the things that you do. But I also think when you're an artist, they enjoy the adventure and see what comes up. And that's what I did then. And I learned from it. If you got your story straight, if you got the reason why you create, you are straight, then it really helps doing collaborations. And that's what I found out. And I was trying to tell the people, how do you call them, the lawyers, not lawyers, but the people that would represent my work, I was trying to tell them, look, this is what I'm making, this is why I make this. It was the wrong company, of the wrong party to tell this to. You should tell it to the collaboration, or to the ones that do the collaboration. Does this make any sense?
Yeah, of course. You know, you have to get everyone's interests aligned. Otherwise, they don't know what to ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you enjoy it yourself the most, I think. And it's nice to scale up. It's nice to have people that do the business side of your work. It was the biggest part, how my work resonated with their brand and how we could make this work together. And so that's what I learned. So just to stick to the program, believe in what you create and why you create this. And if you got it clear, then it's very easy to sell your work and to a company to do the collaboration.
I think I know the answer to this next question. I think I know how you're going to answer, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay. How do you define success as an artist?
If the work that I create, if it's me and it's a small success, but then the guy that I mentioned that sent me this message, that he took the time to send me this message about the work, remembering him of his son and being a newborn father or new father, that's for me is success. And that inspires me. The thing with this guy said is maybe a small one, but I get a lot of examples, really personal stuff with people. For example, I can't mention everything because it's hard, but originally a friend of mine was called me and said, we want to custom work and could you make this? And in the moment, I thought I shouldn't be making this. They should be making this. So his family, they got together into my studio. And they make this beautiful stain with paint and they took away the paper and I drew their portraits inside of it. And we should stop because it was very personal. But I thought, okay, if this is it, if after this, nothing works anymore, but I'm done because it's so fucking beautiful that you can do this and make people connect or connect with people or make people happy. So yeah, that's a success, I think. And I'm aware that doesn't pay the bills, but it makes me go on and go on. I think that in the end, that's the thing. You need to go on.
Yeah. Often, too often, we get stuck with success being monetary or some sort of career. But success is connection is probably just as important, if not more important. And that's the answer. Like your purpose and reason for doing it is more than the finances seems like a bonus for you.
You put it right. And I enjoy the bonus, but
it's not why you do it. If there is one thing that you knew when you first started that you wish you did different or knew that.
I would tell myself then, you should take good pictures of everything that you make and that leaves your studio because it's gone. Especially in the beginning when things went crazy, I sold every day. I've made a picture with my cell phone. I made a picture and then it went gone. But God, I wish I could take those stuff back and then because they were beautiful, but I really like beautiful work and it's gone. And I know the people that own it, but it's nice to have this documented or film it or something like that.
So everybody listen to that because I think the same thing. There's so many things that I wish I took better pictures of or documented. Yeah. There's so much of the history that vanishes, the experiments, the stuff you didn't think was any good but brought something else out. So that's fantastic.
You learn from yourself. Just this night, I was looking at my computer and I found this mask that I made and somebody made a picture and I found it. I thought, fuck, I forgot about it. You should document it. You should do this in some sort of structure or something. Maybe I should take somebody who can do this for me.
I have a friend who takes a picture of literally every moment of his life and he can search for everything. It's quite incredible. Discipline, but it's quite incredible. Last but not least, what advice would you give to other artists, like young up-and-coming artists who are just starting to grind? What would your best tool or tip or suggestion be to someone who's just getting started?
Start creating every day. Post it every day, no matter what. If it's a fuck up, if it's not good, if it doesn't resonate with you, but you will find out then suddenly you will see what your style is and what your thing is and what you believe is. And then you get feedback from people, you learn from people, and if you're open, and then eventually you'll find out you can sell your stuff, you can buy new stuff, and it's a learning curve. It doesn't need to be perfect when you post it online. I'm still learning. I still make fuck ups. I still have stuff that I think, no, it's not my best one, but hey, yeah, and that keeps it honest, and it keeps it also nice to yourself. Have you cooked up over what should I post, or what should I make, but just make every day, make something, and then post it.
Fantastic advice. I could not agree with you more. Release early, release often, be uncomfortable. If you're waiting for it to be perfect, you've waited way, way too long.
Yeah, and you learn so much. Being uncomfortable, it's a good thing that you mentioned it, because that's what I learned. I posted online stuff and I thought, okay, this is not me. This is not what I like. This is not my best one. You often get people talking about that work and you think, hey, that's cool. It is me. You learn so much. It's one big learning stuff. One thing. I have this quote, for me, it's not learning by doing, but it's earning by doing. And I think that's the thing. It's learning and it's earning, but it's what also makes me tick. You can have an income from the stuff that you're still learning from, and that's beauty.
By the way, learning on somebody else's dime, there's nothing better in the whole world. Always take projects that make you feel uncomfortable. I don't know, because when you get pressured to do something, it's amazing what you can finish.
Absolutely. Yeah. Except the fuck ups. It's also.
And we will start. We will finish as we started. That fuck ups are fuck ups are absolutely great.
Absolutely.
I would think that this interview is actually better than the first one. Once again, sometimes fuck ups happen for a reason.
Absolutely.
Salventius, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you again, and just remind people. What are your social channels and your website so they can find your work and maybe even buy some?
My website is www.salventius.com. And my socials, I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, and on TikTok. And they are also with the handle @Salventius. So you can find me there. Also on Threads @Salventius. In Europe, we are not allowed to use Threads, but I did this detour. It was broken, but you can still follow me. And when everything opens up, I can meet people there because I really like Threads. So it's
okay. And, I've yet to experiment with it.
I answer every question that people send. If somebody takes the time to ask me a question, I take the time to answer. It's my duty.
Careful what you wish for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you very much. This was an amazing conversation. Everybody go check out his work. And thank you very much.
Bye-bye.